guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewADay.ca. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from ThisWeekInGeek.net and many great radio stations across this great land of ours. You can hear me on the Sean Green Show in the U.S. across Clear Channel Networks and on Toronto's AM 640's VGS, which is on the Chorus Radio Network. Well, guys, the last time on Rad, we took a look at the new Nintendo 3DS XL. Can I recommend it? Well, you should probably go back and check it out in my last review, but in short, it depends on when you got your 3DS and what your gaming habits are expected to be. In today's episode, we're going to be looking at Warner Brothers and Techland's Dying Light. And this is a game I've got a bit of a history with. The game came out a few weeks ago, and I've been trying to decide whether I love it or hate it. And my opinion has actually changed a lot in the last couple of hours, surprisingly enough. So I guess let's not waste any time. Let's kind of jump right into it with Dying Light. Well, the storyline for this game goes as follows. You play secret agent Kyle Crane. You're being dumped into the city of Haran, which is someplace in the Middle East. I don't know where. And basically, you're being sent into this quarantine zone, which has been overrun by, well, the undead zombies. And you have to recover a file, which is potentially very damning. You play you're supposed to be this government agent for an agency known as the GRE. And you're supposed to stop a guy named Suleiman, or Reyes, as he's called in the zone. And, well, things obviously don't go as planned. You actually are picked up by a couple of survivors after you parachute in and basically screw yourself up. So you are rescued by these guys and they want you to become a runner, which is basically a survivor who goes out there and gathers supplies and runs errands to do things for other survivors in the zone, basically to keep things going in the face of, well, the end, so to speak. And that's, unfortunately, a lot of the game you're going to be doing is a lot of fetch questing and errands. And it does get kind of repetitive after a little while. I mean, the storyline here, you can beat it in about 10 to 12 hours, give or take. But I spent over 65 hours in this. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. The storyline and the characters, ultimately, you don't care. The lead character here is basically it's the same actor who does Chris Redfield, and that can be both a good thing and a bad thing here, because the storyline feels kind of like, almost like a side story to Resident Evil in a weird type of way, because it eventually involves the virus and the zombies and mutations and weaponizing. Basically, it plays like any B-movie, and that kind of sucks, because I was expecting maybe a little bit more from this, as this was Techland, the same guys who did Dead Island. This was supposed to be their serious zombie game. So, I don't know. That's not to say there isn't anybody likable here, but you just frankly don't give a crap. However, though, that also being said, some of the side missions you do are actually kind of interesting. There's one mission where you have to smuggle a gun into the survivor camp and help this guy escape with his kid. Turns out he's kidnapping his kid to run away from his wife. And there's another quest where you have to get a girl who needs insulin, but the guy protecting her is pretending to be a wizard to help keep the kids happy. And you have to fight a troll, though it's not really a troll, it's this super mutant zombie thing. The side stories are actually where I had probably about the most fun here. And that's another thing, too, about this game, having fun. There's a day and night cycle in this game, which can be taken advantage of. And I want to tell you guys a few pro tips towards the end of this review, basically how I got through it and had so much fun with it right towards the end. Basically, during the daytime, it's easier to explore. You can obviously loot things. You can basically find things that'll be hard to see in the dark. At night, the zombies get more aggressive. There are more types of zombies out at night. There's ones called bolters, who are these really fast zombies that tend to run away from you, but they're very valuable if you can catch them. There are these things called volatiles, which basically they're super zombies. They catch you, you're dead. You can kill them, but very early on, it's going to suck. And that's kind of a gameplay element here. There is a grind. There are three ability trees or levels to do. There's your survivor, which is basically how good you are overall. There's your agility, which ties into your parkour abilities. And there is your combat, which is, well, combat, which is exactly how it sounds. Parkour is basically the name of the game here. That's how you avoid a lot of fights. Run, jump, dive, do whatever you have to get away from these things. In fact, running across rooftops is most often the best way to get across town. Don't get on the street because there's like 1,000 of these stupid zombie things. Though climbing on the rooftops, you'll encounter a few of them, but not as many. And it is actually kind of fun. I would actually describe this game as Dead Island meets Mirror's Edge mixed with a little bit of Dead Rising Assassin's Creed. I'm sure I could come up with a creative title there, but it is what it is. Combat in this game feels clunky at first. In fact, dare I say, you're actually kind of a pussy until you're about level 7 across most of your kind of disciplines there. Then you've got some health boosts, you've got some agility boosts, and you've probably got some combat. Once you start getting better weapons, other than using like gas pipes or boars with planks in them, when you start getting superior grade weapons, like a superior cricket bat was one of my favorite ones early on, you can use them to add different abilities. Like, say you scavenge batteries and duct tape in the environment. Well, now you can make an electric bat by gathering blueprints, much like you could in Dead Island. So there is that here as well. Although I would argue the most effective weapons are anything bladed. I was actually a big fan of the machete, the kukri, and probably the sickle were probably my favorite weapons. Now, you can get guns in this, but in my playthrough, I only use guns in probably the last hour of the game. Truthfully, noise draws zombies, and they draw ones that are really fast and can kick your ass really, really freaking quickly if they overwhelm you. So I don't recommend using guns. You can. There's like a shotgun, an assault rifle, a military rifle, and a pistol. There's actually even a special pistol which you can get by doing one of the side missions, and I'm pretty sure it fires like a 3-round burst. What else can I really say about the gameplay slash storyline here? Scavenging will be your bread and butter in this. In fact, I do recommend screwing around during the daytime, doing the side missions, and scavenging as much as possible, because you'll find this will be valuable for you later on down the road, especially metal parts, which can be used to repair weapons. Weapons also have a limited lifespan. They tend to break pretty easy very early on. Also, kicking is your best friend. Dare I say, you could almost call this game Dying Light FIFA Edition 2015, because that's how often you'll use the kick. And I will say the dropkick is ridiculous fun once you have that leveled up. It's like Goku style. It's ridiculous, but still. Let's talk about the graphics for this game. The game, when you're in the slums, it reminds me very much of Resident Evil 5 when you're in some of the villages. It's very dusty, dirt brown. Not a lot of variety in the color palette, though some of the zombies and other character models do look kind of cool. And this was a nice little touch that I appreciate. You can get different outfits in the game by doing different objectives or completing certain challenges. There's even DLC outfits if you pre-ordered from certain retailers. I myself had the ninja and the secret agent outfit. When you're in the game, you have a watch on which tells you what time of day it is. Your arms and your feet actually reflect what you're wearing. It's a small thing, but it is definitely noticeable. All the cutscenes in the game are from the in-game engine, so there is nothing pre-rendered outside of the beginning. And it's not a bad looking game. I'm going to say not the best looking game. I played this on the Xbox One, but it's not exactly ugly either. It's definitely serviceable. Although, nice touches though, is this dynamic weather system, which happens in the game. One of the best things I ever did is I stood on a bridge at night, surrounded by friggin' zombies, and watched a thunderstorm. And just seeing the lightning go off in the clouds, I thought was really nice. Or finding a nice top of a building where the zombies couldn't get me, and just watching the stars. It's not Skyrim pretty in that regard, but the sunsets and the thunderstorms are really cool. I was actually really impressed with that overall. You'll also, to mention character models again, some of the animations don't look quite right. In fact, one of the funnier ones I encountered was one of the characters you encounter early on named Lena. She's like the medic. I'm pretty sure she is some kind of an alien-human hybrid. She just doesn't look right, for lack of a better phrase. But when the animations are firing and they are working on all cylinders, the game looks great. When it gets sloppy at times, it's a little bit goofy. Especially when you get more powerful and you start drop-kicking enemies like 40 feet, the ragdoll physics get a little funny. But not a whole lot to complain about there graphically. There's also little things hidden in the environment, so always keep your eyes open. Sound design for this game. I love it, and I hate it. Here's why. The voice acting is, well, take it or leave it, more or less. There's not any real performances here that are going to equal The Last of Us. Let's just say that. But what is here is serviceable. And actually, some of the characters are actually kind of funny in that regard. And because it happens in the Middle East, everyone has, I'm guessing, appropriate accents. I don't know a lot of Middle Eastern people, so I really couldn't comment on that, but I guess it sounds authentic. One of the things I do like about this game and hate about it at the same time is the music. At times, it's really good. In fact, there's some tracks here I really rather enjoy. And other times, it's annoying. And it's dynamic, too. If you're being chased, the music will change. But there are certain sections of the game where you'll hear just this annoying wub-wub thumping sound. And I'll tell you this. The game is not very apartment-friendly. What do I mean? Playing this game late at night on a really good surround sound system should be awesome. And it is. Except when you play it at 3 o'clock in the morning and you hear his whoom, whoom, whoom. I'm pretty sure my neighbors hate my guts for that. And you know what? I don't blame them. That's kind of annoying. But what else is here? All the sound effects match up. When the music's good, it's good. When it's annoying, it's annoying. In fact, I really recommend you turn down music and maybe ambient sound effects to maybe about 70% and 80%, and hear the voices nice, crisp, and clear. Although, you can use the sound in the game to listen for when zombies are coming up behind you. So, take it or leave it, there it is. Finally, let's talk about the multiplayer. Now, there are two multiplayer modes in this. There's four-player cooperative, which, in my experience, went one of two ways. When I had friends, it was a lot of fun. When I played with randoms, it sucked. The only progress that matters is if people join you or if you join them. Basically, whoever is the alpha player, stuff happens. But you can still gather stuff in the environment. You can help them do whatever. But, you know, it's four-player co-op. What do you want? The best part about the co-op experience in Dying Light, is there's this mode called Be the Zombie. And I have just kind of wrote this off as a Left 4 Dead ripoff, and you could argue that. But it's so much fun because you can be such a douchebag. I actually joined a game earlier today, playing against some kid in Australia, and I just thought I was in some bots game. I just thought the game would give you something to like kind of screw around with if you wanted to play it no matter what. So I did a quick join session, and I kept hunting this kid, and eventually he was like, please stop killing me. I would like to live now. And it's fun because you have this super zombie who's basically like Spider-Man. You can use these tendrils, you can pounce on him, you can spit acid at him, you can do a bunch of really cool abilities. And eventually you can become such a douche that you could hunt these people. In fact, me and this kid, we kind of had a game of cat and mouse. And one time, well, the cat lost, and he was like, how you like them apples? And it's one of the better multiplayer experiences I've actually had in quite some time, and I did not expect it. I really didn't. And that really turned the bend on me for this game, because originally I started out hating this game, but I eventually grew to like it. I actually likened it to Stockholm Syndrome at one point, but now that I've had a few more hours with it, it's time to give you my final verdict. So after playing this game for over 65 hours, I'm going to recommend you definitely play this game. I'm going to give the game about a 7 out of 10. The game retails at regular $60 right now. Is it worth that? That's hard to say. Originally, I was going to say it's a $40 game, but you know what? After having a little bit more time with it, it can be a lot of fun, especially if you play this game with friends. So that being said, I'm going to recommend you actually do pick this game up and give it a try. Or maybe wait for a sale on Steam. You want to save maybe 10 or 15 bucks. Guaranteed, there's going to be a sale at EB on this in probably a few weeks anyway. But some pro tips I'm going to give you guys for playing this game. At the beginning of the game, during the prologue, you can actually do some of the survivor missions, because the entire map outside of Old Town is open to you. Spend your time leveling up, because the game's day-night cycle doesn't take effect until afterwards. So it can be permanently 8 o'clock in the morning for like 10 hours. Screw around, power yourself up, look for blueprints, scavenge. You will thank me later, because the game is a grind until you're about level 6 or 7. Then it becomes ridiculous fun. In your abilities, I'm pretty sure it's under Survivor, there's an ability called Grapple Hook. You can become a low-rent Batman and swing around and have machetes and guns. It's ridiculous. When you start jumping from rooftop, you'll jump off this ridiculously high place and whip out the Grapple Hook and swing to something else. It's actually quite exhilarating when you actually do that. And when you can jump out of a really hard fight because the zombies are kicking your ass, you can take a second, heal up. It's good. I don't recommend using guns. I really don't. They're fine if you can find a good place to sniper from and they can't get you. But I only really found the shotgun effective against the super zombies when I knew they were going to die anyhow. Also, fire is your best friend. Firecrackers, Molotovs. Use a bunch of firecrackers to lure zombies into one area and then torch them. You will gain ridiculous amounts of experience, which means it's really easy to power level if you follow this strategy, especially if you go on the one bridge, which is just full of these things. And there's one mission over there, which is I wouldn't say it's super difficult, but it's hard enough, where you have to gather these UV bulbs. Spend a little bit of time over there and just farm zombies. And make sure you also max out your backpack skill as soon as you possibly can. The more items you can carry, the more weapons you can carry, and that means more fun for you. Lastly, don't be afraid to screw around. There are these zones called quarantine zones, which are basically gauntlets you have to run through, collecting supplies from really tough enemies or basically overwhelming hordes. There are 8 of them in the game. Do them all, because they will give you a crap ton of experience and you'll learn to think on your feet. They're actually quite fun when you get into them. In fact, there's one of the quarantine zones where you can push those giant concrete rings that they used, I guess, to build tunnels or something like that. You can roll zombies over with them. That was unexpectedly cool. So guys, that is my opinion of Dying Light on the Xbox One. Like I said, unexpectedly fun once I dived into the multiplayer. I definitely want to play more with friends, and I'm probably going to be a bit of a douche and play Be the Zombie online, because just pouncing on people is so much fun, it should be criminal. So anyway, guys, next time on Rad, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to be looking at. I might take a look at Monster Hunter. Evolve is another one that I'll be looking at as well. And you can always keep it locked here to thisweekingeekreviewday.ca. But also, like I said, don't forget to check me out on AM640's VGS, where I'm a freaking guest contributor, and the Sean Green Show in the U.S. When I get a chance, I get called up to the big leagues. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys again next time right here on reviewaday.ca.